Welcome to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I am your host, James Stratton, and today we're going to go over, or tonight that is, we're going to go over the game between the 5 and 15 Detroit Pistons and the 15 and 5 Utah Jazz. We come back from Denver after losing our last matchup with the Nuggets, ending our 11-game winning streak, so we're looking to come back into our winning ways. Also, AT&T Sportsnet is looking back into their broadcasting ways and actually letting us watch the game this time. A little low blow, but they deserve it. Anyways, so let's get into the game. So the Jazz are just starting off like Denver did this game, just on fire. 5 straight buckets without a miss. They go up 10-2 real quick. A great start already on defense, causing 2 early turnovers for Detroit. Detroit found their rhythm in the paint, and they're making Rudy stretch out a bit on the key. Or in the key, not on the key. They're kind of just flooding the paint and making Rudy decide whether the guard, the guy who got beat, or stick with Mason Plumlee, who's been playing okay so far. Halfway into this quarter, the Jazz are up 19-9, so a testament to that. They're playing really good ball on both sides of the court. Both teams get into a slump on the offensive end, not hitting many shots. There's like 3 minutes where I think there's like a total point, total points of like 7 points scored between both games. It was just crazy, especially how explosive the Jazz were in the first part of that period. So that's one thing that the Jazz, I've noticed, really had to work on. They just get on fire and then they're just ice cold, then they're on fire, then they're on ice cold. Just having that consistency of, you know, continuing to putting up shots and getting more of them to fall in at an even rate than just everything at once, and then we just don't see anything because it might bite us in the butt. Foreshadowing. Both sides. I mean, that's good storytelling, right? Just a little foreshadowing for you. I mean, maybe I should write a book, you know. Anyways, both sides then suddenly get on fire, and the Pistons get to the free throw line pretty well just due to their aggressiveness, and they're able to eat into the early 16-point lead that the Jazz had, and the Jazz go into the second quarter after one up 33-22, so very good defensive end. We like to keep them under 25 per quarter, and we did that this game. Or this quarter. I keep on saying quarter instead of game. I rarely listen to my podcast, but sometimes I do, just to make sure I'm not getting a little lazy in my speech. And I really got lazy in my speech last time, and I was very tired, but that's no excuse, so I am sorry. I apologize. It will probably happen again. After getting I can't even talk now. I just dissed myself, and here I am not talking really well. Dang it. Anyways, after getting relentlessly hit, there we go, bumped and pushed over, Clarkson didn't give up and gets a pretty great layup, and that's pretty controlled. So sometimes what we see players do is after getting constantly fouled, which he did at this end of the first quarter, like he got just bumped hard, going and taking that 3-point shot, the buzzer beater, and no call. And then the first, you know, he got bumped out of bounds, no call. And he doesn't give up, and he makes a pretty good lay in that's very controlled. Sometimes people will just get their emotions to the best of them, and then it really like affects him the whole game. But no, not Clarkson. He looks pretty mad, but at least he's poised while he's mad, I guess. The Jazz defense are slacking off a little bit. They're letting Detroit get their open looks, and the Pistons are hitting him at this point. I mean, they weren't really hitting anything in that first quarter, really. The refs are pretty bad this game so far, with lots of missed calls. It's more affecting the Jazz this game. Yes, we're up big, but I mean, some of these foul calls are really ticky-tacky on... Oh, I wouldn't say that, but it's not even. Even as in, the Jazz are fouling the same way the Pistons are, and the Jazz are getting the calls on them for fouling, and the Pistons don't get anything. They can just pretty much hack there's one point they hack Bogey and he's like, look at my arm. And the rest like, I don't care. But anyways, Bogey opened the wound for the Pistons. Man, I can't talk sometimes, huh? I'm tired right now. I mean, this was a later game. I work really early in the morning. So anyways, Bogey opened the wound for the Pistons with a quick, with three quick threes and a beautiful feed, that led for an and one for Mitchell. No, it was actually two quick threes, I believe. Halfway through, the Jazz are up again, big, 54-33. I mean, Mitchell is looking very relaxed this game. And it's seemingly attributing to his success on this game so far. He's smiling. He looks relaxed. He doesn't look overwhelmed. He just looks completely different than he did in this Denver game. Then again, I was looking on a little laptop screen because AT&T Sportsnet couldn't freaking... Anyways. Yeah, he's just looking very relaxed. He didn't really look that relaxed this last game, and he just came in just smiling. You know, he gets bumped over and fouled or whatnot, or even if he doesn't. There's one point where Mitchell feeds Gobert this beautiful pass, and Gobert just mishandles it. He was expecting it, but he wasn't. And instead of just Mitchell rolling his eyes, he just laughs it off and slaps, you know, or he gets upset that a cool play didn't happen, but he, you know, slaps Rudy's hands and, you know, it's like, oh, we'll get it next time. And they almost did. And now Clarkson is just looking very confident at this point of the game. It just seems that every shot he's taken is going in, but it's really not. I mean, just at points he has that confidence where, man, he's just on fire right now. Jazz are going up into the half 69-46. They outscored the Pistons 36-24. And yeah, again, our defense is leading to offense right now. I believe we have a lot of points off turnovers. We're doing very well on that statistical part. We're even making the equipment team for the Pistons work this game because Blake Griffin goes into half, walking into the locker room, ripping his jersey in half. And... I mean, we just frustrated him, and he was getting really good shots opening, and man, I just feel for the guy, just this explosive dominant player coming into the league, and just these injuries. I mean, I talked about it a little bit, the last Pistons games, it's just so weird to see him drive, to stop and do like post moves, instead of just jumping over the defender and dunking on him, you know. And it's just really odd to see. And he is, honestly, he has improved his game so well to what he was known for, to what he is known for now. And he's still very good at it. So just all props to Blake Griffin on completely having to reinvent himself and on the style that he plays. And yeah, the shots weren't dropping this half so far for him. But, you know, anyways, getting into the third quarter. After a strong start, the Jazz lose the intensity and the Pistons take advantage of the no-help defense of the Jazz. So what I'm talking about no-help defense is everybody doesn't help on defense except for Rudy Gobert. So a player would get beat. A lot of times it's Jeremy Grant. And, you know, Rudy would step up to help him out. And Mason Plumlee, who can only shoot a dunk shot apparently, is standing right behind Rudy Gobert, so he either gets the alley-oop dunk or the player will shoot real quick and he'll get the offensive rebound because he's right there and will put it right back in either with a dunk or just go right back up strong. And I mean, that just attributes to Mason Plumlee's like dominance when it comes to being under that rim. And there's some notes in that game that, you know, watching the film that Rudy Gobert can take advantage of when it comes to Mason Plumlee, because that guy goes hard to the rim every single time that he seems to be down there. And I mean, so far this game, I've probably counted three or four lazy layups or little flail layups that Rudy likes to do. He's just not being very dominant. I don't know if that has to do something with the dominance of Mason Plumlee. It shouldn't. I mean, I think Rudy's a pretty strong guy. He should be able to take him on, and I know he can. So, anyways, after a really sloppy play, Jazz gets 8 easy points thanks to the Pistons. Well, not all 8, just 5 of them. So Donovan Mitchell gets a really nice screen assist from Rudy Gobert, shoots a 3-pointer, and then the Pistons turn it over, and Donovan Mitchell, I believe, again, gets a really nice layup after, I believe it's Bogey who steals it. And then right after that, they try to be cute and throw it, Blake Griffin tries to be cute and throws it like fast in, and then Royce O'Neal steals it, and I believe he gives it to Conley. Oh no, he gets the ball back and he makes a 3, and that was like 8 easy points. You know, the first one wasn't really easy, the other 5 was, and that was like within like 10 seconds. So I mean, halfway through, the Jazz are up 82-60 now. Mitchell is just really comfortable this game, and it's really letting it unfold in front of him, so he's able to just step down and, you know, take these calm looks onto the game, and it's really helping him out, because the Jazz are going into the fourth quarter up 94-77. We slip a bit on the defensive end, like we talked about. They're just running that play over and over and over and over again, and no one would box out Plumlee if Rudy helped. That's all you have to do. That's all people had to do, was the second that they saw Rudy peel off, get a body in front of Plumlee, and we'd be fine. We did that a couple times the fourth quarter, I think like a total of once. I say a couple, but it's probably really, I think, only one time, and I think it was Conley who jumped down and boxed out Mason Plumlee, and Plumlee didn't even try. He was like, eh, whatever, and he runs up, you know, before the shot even gets off the rim. So we let them score 31. We only scored 25 points. Going into the fourth quarter, the Pistons bench really are attacking this quarter. They were very aggressive at the end of the third, going into the fourth, getting this game out of like the comfort zone. Like that third quarter, I didn't really take too many notes because the Jazz consistently held that 20-point lead. So, I mean, it fluctuated between like 18 and 28. So I didn't really take too many notes. I was really more enjoying the game. The Jazz are completely out of it this quarter, though, and the Pistons are just getting their shots down now. And the Pistons get within 7 points with 3 minutes left, mainly due to their over-aggressiveness on both ends. A lot of times they're not getting even foul calls on them. I hate blaming it on the refs, but the refs really helped them back into this game because they were very, very, very aggressive on both ends. And a lot of the times, like one over-aggressiveness was, I forget who, but he pretty much like almost tackles Favors, and Favors like fights him off for the rebound, and they call the foul on Favors even though the rebound was nowhere near those two guys. And it was just dumb. Nothing at all is falling for the Jazz. Free throws, open close shots, layups, three-pointers, and there's one point I was like, just got really mad because the Jazz just hawked up a three-pointer and the Pistons were just letting them because they knew they were cold. And it's like, man, just get in there, get in the paint, keep, you know, get into the free throw line. We're up big. We need to continue to, you know, push it in. So that's one takeaway I could see from this game, especially that fourth quarter, is really staying aggressive, attacking to the rim. Finally, we get a big 3 from Bogey to give us good breathing room. Wait, no, let's make it 2 in a row. That's when I was typing it all. Late game heroics by Bogey. I mean, he does it again. He steps up. He was kind of half absent during this whole game until the end of the fourth quarter here. And the Jazz are able to pull away with a win 117-105 after letting the Pistons get within 4 points. 4. And we're up by like 28 in the third at one point, I believe. We only scored 23 points to their 32. So a bad defensive half by the Jazz. They let Griffin get a little bit comfortable there in that second half. They don't learn their lesson with the whole Plumlee backdoor to Rudy whenever, you know, Rudy was pretty much guarding two people every single time they went down to the court. So it's not really Rudy's fault either. He's doing the best he can, and he did very well. He didn't end up making the notes of the game, but he also didn't make the F note. And I almost looked at him like, oh, man, he didn't really perform. But then I started really thinking about the game. It's like, well, he wasn't able to. but anyways, let's get into the stats. The field goals, 46%. They're a little bit up than what we're used to. They've been down in the 40s for a while, the lower 40s. Again, we need to get that back up to 50%, like how we were during that really hot run. Three-pointers, we dipped a bit, going below 40% at 38. We got out-rebounded again, mainly because of that Mason Plumlee thing. Let's see how many offensive rebounds that dude got. It was at least 30. At least 30. Mason Plumlee, where are you? There you are. Mason Plumlee got 6 offensive rebounds himself. 6. And then I believe his name is Isaiah Stewart. Anyways, Isaiah Stewart, I think, for the bench. I think his name's Isaiah or Ian. It's probably Isaiah. He gets 2 offensive rebounds, and Josh Jackson gets 3. I mean, so we didn't really take, I think that first half we were very good about limiting the offensive boards, but that second half we were just terrible. So that's the story why we lost the rebounding edge, even though we should have won. We had 23 assists to 38 field goals, back to where we were at 60%, not 50 or 88, because apparently we lose if we are at that 88% mark. And only 13 turnovers, so one more than what I like, and I ain't going to complain. So let's go into the notes of the game, I think. Man, I keep doing this. No, let's go into what we are now whenever we score the points I like to see. So whenever we hold the defenders less than 25 points in the first quarter, we're now 10-2 because we did that. We held them less than 50 going into the half. Now we're 11-1. And then they had to let him score 76 points, so that ruins my little statistics. And we almost lost the game, you know, if it wasn't for Bogey's heroics, I don't know what would have happened. But now we're 8-5 whenever they go into the fourth quarter with more than 75 points. And then we let him score more than 100, and we're now 10-5. So again, all games have been lost if they score 75 or more points going into the third quarter. And definitely all games have been lost if they scored more than 100 going into the fourth. So let's get into the notes of the game. I'm sorry. The FNO is the worst player of the game. That was Jordan Clarkson. It was really, really hard to pick just one person. It was actually hard to pick one person just because everyone kind of did their role during the game. There wasn't a very big, like, blemish. I can say George Niang, maybe. He did only play 13 minutes with negative 11 points. Man, it's really tough. I mean, I should have gave it to Niang, but I gave it to Clarkson, mainly because he is that spark off their bench, and he only scored 12 points that game. I mean, he's not going to score 20 points every single game. I understand that, but we just got killed. Our bench unit to their bench unit, we just got killed this game. That's really Clarkson's responsibility to be our little plug. Then again, that's what the defense did. They're agitating him, and they did a really good job. That's why I gave it, because I was just so sick of giving it to Niang every single game, it seems like, so far. Sino of the game is Bojan Bogdanović. Mainly due to his late game heroics. Conley was really close to getting this third best player. He had 18 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, and plus and minus a positive 24, which was the most of the team, surprisingly. It's usually Conley, and he actually got a negative 7, which is crazy. B-note of the game is Royce O'Neal. He's just been on a tear lately for us, helping us out on both ends of the court. 12 points, 13 rebounds, more than Rudy by like 6. 3 assists, 3 steals, 1 block, plus minus positive 17. I mean, whatever you're drinking before the game, you know, like protein shake, whatnot, keep it up, Royce. You've been just a complete monster out there, really giving them headaches on both ends of the court. And just awesome to see. It's really awesome to see you come out of your shell during these last few games and just keep it up. I'm loving it. I'm sure a lot of Jazz fans are loving it too, especially that amazing putback dunk at the very end of the game after Mitchell pretty much got his head chopped off. Again, another no call. And Royce O'Neal just comes flying in like Superman at the very end of that miss and just hammers it home. I think he even like dunked on Rudy. So he like posterized Rudy on that port. So just again, keep up the aggressiveness. I love it. Ano of the game is Donovan Mitchell. He was just very relaxed this game, just very in control and awesome. Just awesome. 32 points, 6 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, plus and minus a positive 23, which was the second best of the game. So let's get into the scores around the league tonight. Once we get about that 3/4 way in, when we're getting a little bit more, I'm not going to go through every single score unless it's a playoff team. But right now, since everyone could be considered a playoff team, I'm not going to prejudice or leave anyone out in the rain. So going back to the Florida games, Raptors beat the Magic 123-108. The Nets beat the Clippers. Good news for us, 124-120. It was pretty close throughout the whole game. I was watching it on. I should have put on TNT and watched some of it, but I just watched it on my phone. Just the updates on the score. The Pacers beat the Grizzlies 134-116. Trailblazers beat the Wizards 132-121, ending the Wizards' little mini run they were doing. And the Celtics beat the Warriors. Shout out to Hard Hitting Podcast. Your Celtics beat the Warriors 111-107 in San Francisco, right? Not Oakland, even though they're wearing Oakland jerseys, and I know why. And let's get into the standings. There hasn't been really much a shakeup since that quarter season. Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee still 1-2-3 in the East. Boston did jump up a little bit with that Indiana loss. Hey, I didn't say Indianapolis. Awesome. So they just barely squeak out over Indianapolis. Now I'm saying it. Shouldn't have said anything. So, and then Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, Toronto, or Tampa Bay, and Chicago round out the top 10. Let's get into the Western Conference. Utah is number one. I'm so petty sometimes, man. It's not even funny. So we have a 16-5 record. We're half game ahead of the Clippers and the Lakers. They're tied at 16-6. So we got to keep hammering it down, you know, making sure that we just build onto that. Denver is 12-8. We're 3.5 games ahead of them now, with Phoenix, Memphis, Portland, Houston, Golden State, and San Antonio running out the top 10. As far as separation goes, let's get into Eastern side. Separation, it's pretty much Philly by themselves right now. They're 2 games ahead of the next people, which is Brooklyn. Then you have Brooklyn, Milwaukee, Boston, Indiana. I was about to say it again. And they're all within a game of each other. Then the third tier is like Atlanta, Cleveland, Charlotte, Toronto, Chicago, New York. They're all within 2 games of each other as well. So you could probably even throw up Atlanta in that Indiana, Boston, Milwaukee mix. The Western Conference, it's us, the Clippers, and Lakers that are in that top tier point in the standings. Then you have Denver, Phoenix, Memphis, Portland, and Houston, Golden State, San Antonio, and Sacramento. Or just San Antonio within 1.5 games of each other. And then Sacramento starts running out the bottom tier with Minnesota really like running away from being away from us. Eastern Conference, you have Detroit and Washington that are like starting to fall behind a lot. So thanks for listening to the podcast. I'm sorry I'm sighing right now. I'm just super tired. I need to wake up early for work. Ugh. Anyways, so I hope you have a great rest of the next couple days. Hopefully the Jazz can stifle Trae Young like they did that last game and continue their winning ways and continue to impress the league and impress a lot of people. And just as always, at the very end of the podcast, I like to say, go Jazz.